produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome to the Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your humbled host today. And I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so honored that you would stop by and listen and join this radio show. I pray that you will make a goal to just listen to the entire show. Just go ahead and determine that you're going to listen out to the very end. I believe that the reason why you happen to find this station or happen to come across this and you're listening is because God wanted you to, because God has a word for you today. Now, the show is called The Mommy Meltdown, but listen, there may be a grandmother or a foster mom or someone who is raising a child that is not theirs. There may be a dad who just happened to come across this program. And so I pray that whoever the listener is in this moment, even if you are not a mom, that you will listen to the truths that God has for you and apply it to your own heart. So as we begin today's topic, I pray that you will know my heart is for the Lord to be glorified more than anything, that the Lord has all the honor and glory, and the Lord takes this and uses it as He will, however He wants to use this program. That is my desire. Now, the Mommy Meltdown was originally created as a Facebook group as a way to encourage moms in the journey of motherhood. Because we know that motherhood is not easy. There's a lot of struggles in motherhood and as a caregiver to children. And so I just wanted mothers to know they weren't alone. You're not on this little island all alone left to yourself. And so that is how the Mommy Meltdown began. And then as we began the radio program, the idea of being a mom who sparkles and shines. I mean, let's think about that, moms. How often do you sparkle and shine? I mean, come on, let's be honest. You're at home, especially if you're a full-time homemaker and you're a stay-at-home mom. You really honestly don't feel like you sparkle and shine. I know I didn't in the 5 years I stayed at home. I lived in yoga pants, a stained t-shirt. My hair was just thrown on the top of my head, or maybe it was brushed straight that day. But didn't do a full face of makeup. I might have done, you know, my eyelashes that day. But the truth was, I very seldom felt like I had some pizzazz going on that day or sparkle and shine. My desire was just to survive that day, to get through the day where my son stayed alive, the house was semi-clean, I fixed dinner that day. I mean, those were just the basics, and anything on top of that was bonus, right? Like if I remembered to put on deodorant and brush my teeth, then I was achieving something big that day. But as moms, we very seldom feel like our life is one that's just, sprinkling the sparkle everywhere we go. And so this book was actually written during a time when my confidence was very low and I was very insecure. And the Lord showed me some wonderful truths to what exactly sparkle and shine meant. It didn't mean that I got to run, I didn't get to walk down a runway in a glamorous dress that had sequins all over it, and I was wearing amazing, stunning designer shoes and had poppin' red lipstick. Sparkle and shine didn't mean that my social media pages all of a sudden were getting million and millions of views and were popular and my name became a household name. Sparkle and shine did not mean that once I wrote the book, I became a New York best-selling author. Sparkle and shine was written to remind me and to remind other Christians that even in the midst of mundane days, in the midst of motherhood, in the midst of just trying to survive, in the midst of no recognition, in the midst of the lonely struggle, that my light could still shine. And that's what the whole purpose of motherhood is, ladies. It's allowing your light to shine in the lives of the little children that God has entrusted to you. Yes, there may be days when you feel like the world has passed you by. There may be days when you look in your closet and you cry because you literally have nothing to wear because you have not bought anything new in a decade. There may be days when you don't want to leave the house because you just feel unworthy and unwanted. But ladies, may I remind you that in the midst of all of that, God is giving you a little light that He wants you to shine, and He wants you to pour into the lives of those babies that love you and adore you in those yoga pants, in that stained t-shirt, in that floppy, messy bun. And then for the moms who work full-time jobs and you're exhausted and you come home and everyone needs you because they need help with homework and they need help getting to their soccer practice and your husband wants dinner on the table and you're so tired and you don't know if you can go one more moment and the last thing you want to do is sparkle and shine. May I remind you, in the midst of the struggle, God has given you a little light to shine. Not every day is a sparkle day, but every day is a day that we can let our light shine. And we can shine it with confidence, knowing that we are doing the thing that God has called us to do, whether it's staying home with our children or whether it's working a full-time job providing for our children. We are walking in the calling that God has for us. And because he's called us into it, he will enable us to walk through it. And that little light that he's given you is yours to protect, to guard, and to share with those around you. So don't forget about that little light. And today I just want to talk to you about another type of sparkle that sometimes we neglect in our lives. And we just sometimes are so busy we don't pay attention to it. And this whole theme, the sparkle and shine, comes from my book, Sparkle and Shine. And this is in chapter 3 where it's called The Diamond in the Rough. We've heard that saying before, right? You've heard the statement, the diamond in the rough. And I've even said it, but I guess could be honest to say I never really took that much thought into what it actually meant. So basically, a diamond in the rough means it's when someone's good qualities are hidden or when you cannot see the beauty of something, such as a diamond or a jewel, when it's in that rough, natural state. In other words, it's never been cut. It's not filled with the brightness and the brilliance because all you see is the natural form that it's in, which is often rough and ugly. It's hard to honestly imagine when you're looking at your finger and you're seeing that sparkly diamond on your finger or your earrings or in a beauty, in a jewelry store, when you see that gorgeous ring that just sparkles and it shines, and it's hard to ever imagine that it was actually anything other than a diamond, right? Because it glitters. Oh, and it just shines. And when it catches the right light, it just shimmers. But, you know, we've heard that saying, ooh, some bling bling, you got some bling bling, right? We've heard that diamonds are a girl's best friend. And yes, they are. They delight us, don't they? But before all that bling bling ever came into existence, and before the shine and the shimmer and the delight and the oohs and the ahs can ever come into existence, you have to get that diamond in its natural state, in that ugly, rough state. And you have to take it and you have to get it out of there so that way you can extract the flashy, exuberant diamond that it was made to be, it was created to be. Unfortunately, diamonds don't come into the world the way we find them in this store, right? Well, that's how we associate them, but that's not how they come into this world. Now, that's how they come into the store, but not into the world. The journey of a diamond is an extensive and complex procedure that actually takes a lot of time. Now, I don't know how much you know about diamonds. I'm sure you have the basic knowledge, kind of like I did. I just kind of had a basic idea of what a diamond was. But when I began to do some research for this chapter, I began to read a lot about diamonds. And I began to find out there was so much more to a diamond than I had any idea. Diamonds are formed deep inside the earth throughout many different countries. They are mined, sorted, polished, and cut. And this is actually a very lengthy process. It takes time. This isn't just something that happens in a day. In fact, you think about some people actually spend a lifetime just trying to find a diamond. Then once the mining and the sorting and the polishing and the cutting have all gone through their process, then they must be sent to labs to determine the grade of the diamond. Once that's happened, then they're sent to the jewelry stores around the world to be showcased for us to drool over. But let's just be very honest about this. Each one of those steps don't happen quickly. They don't happen overnight. It's a process that takes time and patience and hard work. And it also takes experience from an expert master craftsman. They can't just have anybody come in and do this job. They have to know what they're doing. They have to know what they're looking for. They have to know how to handle the diamonds. But once all this has happened, they have the right people in place to do the right job, the experts in, the final result is what? Priceless. Isn't this a lovely picture of how we moms are? How God views us individually? How God looks down from heaven and sees you? God searched for you in the deepest, darkest, dirtiest place. He picks you up out of that miry clay. He sets you on a solid rock, and then he takes all of your yuckiness, your messiness, your filth, your grime, the dust, the dirt. He takes all of that off. Why does he do that? Because he sees the potential and the value. He knows that underneath all of that is a diamond to be discovered. And in that process, he patiently loves you and begins to take all the unnecessary filth and the roughness away. He has to gracefully chisel away the areas that don't allow you to sparkle. He has to polish you so you will shine. Now, come on, let's be honest. This is not a fun process, is it? No, ma'am. None of us like to be put in the refiner's fire, do we? No. But it's there in the midst of the mastered, skilled, experienced hand that we can become a beautiful diamond that sparkles and shines. But the thing is we have to be willing. We have to put ourselves in his hand and in his care. And we have to give him the privilege and the permission to chisel away at the things that don't need to be in our life. And that's not always easy, is it? But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to allow him to handle the process, because the master knows. But when you humble yourself in the master's hand and you trust in his plan and in his purpose, beauty. Beauty is born out of the ashes. 1 Peter 5:10 tells us that after that ye have suffered a while, after you're going through that process and it's hard, the Bible says after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you to him. Be the glory and the dominion forever. In the midst of all that chiseling away, in the midst of the master craftsman chiseling and grinding and getting the rough edges and polishing and doing everything that needs to be done, God is making you perfect. He is settling you into a beautiful design. He is strengthening you and establishing you. Isn't that beautiful? Such a beautiful thought to know that everything we are going for, everything we're going through is not in vain. And when you give it to him, give him the permission to do what he needs to do, God can use it for his honor and glory so that you can be a light that shines and makes a difference in a dark and dreary world. God can take those rough, rugged, messy, filthy edges and transform them into a beautiful, strong, clean life that shines for him. But you have to trust him with the process. As a Christian, our ultimate goal should be to be a valuable life for the cause of Christ, okay? Which means just like a diamond has to go through the entire process of extraction and refining. That's the mining and the crushing and the separating and the greasing and the cutting. Once he's gone through the extraction and the refining, then and only then will he become valuable. And sisters, that's exactly like our life. Only when we go through all of that, the trials and the testings and the storms and the separating and the taking the things out that doesn't need to be in there, only then will we become the valuable life that God has for us. Now, this is what I love. Every diamond is completely different, is it not? Every diamond. They are polished and beautiful, but they're unique and rare and valuable. Diamonds come in shapes, all different shapes and sizes, colors, and various internal characteristics. Even though each diamond is completely different, and we know they're each different, they all have one thing in common. They sparkle and shine. And that's how we are in our own lives. We're all so different. We all come in different sizes and shapes and colors, and we all have different characteristics, but we can all sparkle and shine for the Lord. Now, one thing I do want to share that's very interesting. Diamonds don't have their own light, do they? They don't, but they sparkle and shine, so you think that there's something radiant about them. So what is it that causes a diamond to sparkle and shine? And in some very rare cases, diamonds have even been known to glow in the dark. What? I know, right? That's so cool. So what is it about a diamond that sparkles and shine when it has no light of its own? A diamond is a conglomerate of many different tiny mirrors, all angled in different directions. So a diamond is doing nothing more than actually reflecting what's in its environment. Sister, does that sound familiar? We don't have a light of our own, do we? But God put the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that light that he ignited the day we got saved can sparkle and shine for him. Oh, that's beautiful, isn't it? We have a light that God has lit that belongs to him. It's his light that he's putting in us. And he's saying, go and sparkle and shine. Go share that light with everyone. Now, many factors contribute to the value of a diamond, such as the color, the cut, the clarity. That's actually a really big thing. The carat weight. Of course, we know the bigger the diamond, the more expensive it's going to be. And actually, as I was reading and studying about the diamonds, I came across a very interesting article on the grading process of diamonds. Now, this was from Knox Jewelry and the Luminar Diamonds. I actually found it quite fascinating, and I wanted to share it with you because I feel like it's very applicable for Christians. Now, I want to go through it quickly because our time is almost up, okay? So I'm not going to go into every single point, but I think you'll get the message here. All right, so there are 5 different grades of diamonds that are shared by experts. And basically, it's how light affects each one differently. All right. The first one is excellent. For most precise and beautifully crafted cuts, the light will reflect a subtle angle and radiate throughout the surface of a diamond. Only the most well-cut stones receive this rating. You hear that? The most well-cut stones. After excellent is good. It's an impressive rating that many diamonds strive to achieve. The stone looks stunning under multiple lighting conditions and in different environments. If it has a defect, it's very hard to see. The third rating is good. A diamond rated good will have a balanced brightness, a fire, and it's scored very high steel. And it still does really great under the lightning conditions. Lighting conditions. And any effects are also very hard to see. The number four, you have fair. It's an average diamond with a passable brightness. It has a fire. Its profile will achieve a fair rating because defects are noticed. And sometimes even just by the naked eye, you can see the defects. So it's a fair diamond. Then you have a poor diamond. It's your number five ranking. The defects are visible to the naked eye and should be avoided in all cases. For this reason, jewelry stores do not carry diamonds with a poor grade. You know, looking at those five cut grades, I couldn't help but compare this to the Christian walk. I don't know about you, but listen, sister, I want to be excellent. I want to sparkle and shine as brightly as possible as I can. No matter what my defects are, no matter what my scars and bruises and flaws are, I don't want people to see them because I want them to see the Lord Jesus Christ shining through me as much as possible. Now, yes, very good, good and fair are all nice and fine, but do we really want to settle for those ratings when God can give us excellence? That's what I want to strive for, sisters. And let me tell you the reason why I want to strive for this so bad in my life, because one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I stand before Him in that moment, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Excellent job. You've been faithful to the assignment I've given you. You've let your light shine. You've ministered to those around you. You've loved me and you've loved others well." And sister, I pray that today that is your desire. That is your heart's desire, is to hear the Master say, "Well done." So today, will you be willing to be that diamond in the rough? Will you allow your life to be put in the Master's hands and allow Him to grind and cut and separate and polish so that you can be an excellent source of light for the Master? Ladies, I love you and I thank you for your time, and I pray blessings upon you and your family, and may you go today and sparkle and shine and love those around you well. Blessings, and thank you for being part of the Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Welcome back. Thank you all for tuning in. You are listening to What Now God radio show. Thank you so much. I am your host, Cheryl Woods, author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. This is the show where we answer the question, what now, God? When we're dealing with life's tragedies, when we are dealing with issues personally, when we're dealing with things that may have been brought to us by our family, by our friends, the tragedies, the wars, everything that's going on with the world, we ask ourselves, what now, God? What do we do as Christians? What do we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other out as we help ourselves? Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm just excited, so excited. Every first and third Friday, you can catch us here on the Lifted Authors Radio Network. Shout out to our CEO, Tammy Polk, as well as Miss Kayla Pageant of Finding My Way Radio Network. I am again your host, Cheryl Woods, and you can catch me here every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So listen, tune in, and tell a friend. So today's topic is, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? And as I stated before, I'm the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together, which is available on Amazon, as well as my website, sistars.org, if you would like to have a wonderful read. But I feel like I'm kind of an expert on the topic because there's so many times throughout my 42 years of living that I just felt like my life was falling apart. And I even asked myself the question, what now, God? What do I do now that I'm dealing with this situation? So on today, we're going to discuss that topic. What do you do when you feel like your life is falling apart? Okay. And I'm going to go over three specific points that are going to help you, the listener, hopefully not just get through some things yourself, but we all know that when we go through things, sometimes it's because we are meant to help someone else get through that exact same situation. Okay. God doesn't just send us through things because he's not a loving God or he wants us to be tested. Okay. There's a purpose for every situation, every trial that we go through. And hopefully on today, on this broadcast, we can discuss that. And as always, I would love to invite you, if you are an author, if you are an activist, if you are a speaker, if you have a cause that you want to speak about on the What Now God radio show, I do invite you to apply to be a guest on one of our upcoming segments. And you can do that by going to bit.ly/WNG radio guest. Okay. So go ahead and apply. I'd love to have you on the next show. So without further ado, when you feel like your life is falling apart, what do you do? Now, the first thing is, that you have to remember, no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, what he said, what she said, what they said, you have to know without a doubt that God is working all things together for your good, okay? So when we're going through some things, it can seem like the worst of times, you know, whether it's a loss, whether it's, you know, a loss of job, a loss of your loved one, whether it's a health scare, you're dealing with an illness. When we're going through, what happens is our focus becomes so laser pointed to what we're going through. We're not looking up where we should be looking. We're not looking to God necessarily, but a lot of times our focus goes into that bad feeling, goes into that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But we have to remember that no matter what we're going through at that time, that God is working all things together for our good. So what does that mean? It means that, yes, I may have lost my job today. Yes, I may not know where my next meal is coming from or how I'm going to pay my bills. I may be dealing with a diagnosis from my doctor that does not look great. I may have just broken up with the love of my life. I may have just lost someone to, you know, to a tragedy that has really just taken me out of, you know, out of myself to where I'm feeling so hurt. But guess what? All of those things, God is going to work together. And sometimes we question God and we ask, why me? But we have to remember that God is an awesome, on time, never failing God. Okay. He's all powerful. And a lot of times his ways, not a lot of times, but most of the time, all of the time, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there is nothing impossible for God. So that bad situation, that tragedy, that health scare, whatever it is, he can still use all of that bad stuff and turn it into something so good, so great, that instead of crying out, why me, you'll be thanking him. And trust me, because like I said, in these 42 years of living, I have lived through some stuff. And guess what? They say that what kills you, what doesn't kill you, only makes you stronger. That is the truth. And the fact is that you have already, if you're listening to this radio show, you're listening to this broadcast, you have already survived 100% of everything that the devil has tried to use to take you out. So guess what? You're on the winning team. God is yet working all things together for your good. So I want you to remember that, number one. And number two, your purpose is often born through your pain. We all go through storms in life, okay? You, me, our parents, our kids, we all have our personal storms that we will go through in life. It's inevitable. But the question is, are you just gonna go through it? Or are you going to allow God to grow you through it? Okay. That storm is going to teach you some things about yourself. I promise it's going to teach you some things about yourself that you would have never known were it not for you going through that storm. So you're going to learn some things about you that you never knew. Okay. That storm is going to connect you with some people that you would have never, ever connected with otherwise. That storm is going to awake a strength in you that's going to not only equip you to help somebody else through their storm, but it's going to have you closer to God. It's going to have you trusting him more, calling on him more than you have ever done before, okay? And what is that going to do? That's going to build that relationship with God. That's going to build that faith muscle, okay? Because we all know when we're, it's like when you're exercising, all right? You may start off only being able to lift 5 pounds or 10 pounds. You may be able to do about 10 reps at a time. But then as you work, as you continue to exercise, as you continue to lift those weights, then the next week, maybe you're up to 15 and 20 and so on and so forth. The same thing goes for our faith muscle, okay? When we go through things, when we go through those storms in life, it builds our faith. Because what happens? Like I said, we start calling on God more. And when we're calling on God more,
we're building a better relationship. Our prayer becomes more effective. Our being able to listen to God and hear from Him becomes more clear. So instead of us throwing ourselves at God's mercy, now we're communicating. Now we're not just praying, we're worshiping God. We're thanking God because we know that without God, where would we be? Okay? So again, your purpose is often born through your storm, your pain. So what does that mean when we say that our purpose is born through our pain? Sometimes when life is going good, you know, we're sailing through life, the sun is shining, everything is going right. What happens? We may continue to pray every day, but we're just going through the motions. We're not really connected, as connected with God as we sometimes should be. So when we go through that pain, we begin to learn things about ourselves. We begin to learn that we are stronger than we thought we were. We begin to see ourselves and other people in different lights. We begin to tap into our inner strengths, our inner gifts, our inner talents that we may not never have known that we had. And from that, we figure out, okay, wow, I persevered through this storm and I'm great at this. I'm great at helping someone else now, because now that I've been through my storm, I can relate to others who are going through. I can teach them and show them that, guess what? I made it. And if I made it, you can too. Or through my storm, I got through my storm by writing. Wow, I never knew I was so great at writing. Maybe it's my purpose to write. Maybe it's my purpose to share my thoughts through poetry, to share my thoughts through spoken word, through writing books, through motivational speaking. Or we find out that I'm great at listening. I'm great at inspiring. I'm great at giving people encouragement, okay? I'm great at giving people advice. Or through your pain, maybe you find that, you know, that you were so broke, you had to figure out a way to make some money. So now you're making meals to bring in extra money. You're selling plates, or maybe you're doing crochet, or maybe you're doing any other type of creative work that you've used in your time of financial problems. So now what happens? That pain of you not having enough has now turned into a purpose, to where now you know that, oh, I can make money doing this, but also I can help people doing this, okay? So again, we have to remember that so often that pain that we're going through, that struggle that we're going through, is just those birthing pains of birthing our purpose. And if we keep pushing, if we do not give up, if we do not give in, if we trust God, continue to trust God through it all, then guess what? We're going to birth something so amazing. We're going to birth something so beautiful that we'll forget about those labor pains, ladies and gentlemen. We will forget about those labor pains, and we're just going to remember and see the blessing that was birthed, that purpose that was birthed through our pain, okay? So first of all, remember, no matter how it looks, that God is working all things together for your good. And secondly, remember that often through our purpose is born through our pain. So although we go through those struggles in life, although we go through those storms in life, it's okay. God is going to get you through it, and you're going to come out so much better than before. Okay. And let's just be honest. When we're going through things, we're not thinking about, you know, any of this. So that's why we have to try to remember. We have to try to stay connected to God, even when we're not going through things, because a lot of times He'll prepare us ahead of time for something that we may be about to go through, or for something that our loved ones are about to go through. So many of you know, in the last couple of weeks, tragedy hit a famous basketball player, Kobe Bryant, who most of us know. I don't care if you're a basketball fan, if you're a Los Angeles Lakers fan or not. nine times out of 10, you knew who Kobe Bryant was one way or another. Left high school, went straight to the NBA. His dad was an awesome basketball player. You may have even seen him in the news, you know, for some not so savory things when he was accused of rape. Let's just keep it real. And over the last 2 weeks, we watched as tragedy unfolded within the life of Kobe Bryant and his wife, Vanessa, and their four daughters. And unfortunately, you know, I pray for the family. I pray for Vanessa. I pray for his remaining children, because just watching, just getting the notification, we were in church when our pastor, you know, said we need to pray for Kobe Bryant and his family. And he announced the sad, just unbelievable news that he had went down in the helicopter. And when I say my entire church family, I mean, we're all mourning. You would think that Kobe was, you know, our relative, a close brother, a close uncle, or our own father or our own son, how we were mourning and how the mood in church just completely changed. Okay. So as we're sitting on the outside looking in on this family going through this storm, it was hard, and it is still hard, to see that anything purposeful or anything good can come out of this tragedy. And then when you find out, when we all found out that his baby girl, Gianna, was also with him, and seven other people that also lost their lives, okay? Each just as important as Kobe. You know, a lot of times we may send condolences to celebrities because they're in the limelight and we feel like we know them, we feel a connection to them. But we also have to remember that there were others, seven other families, two that were, you know, a husband and wife and their child, and then also another player's mom and herself, as well as the pilot and another coach who also had a family. They all had families. So I said all that to say that when we're going through the storm, when we're watching our loved ones, when we're watching our families going through the storm, sometimes we don't see the purpose. We don't see any good that can possibly come out of it, especially when it's something as tragic as an accident that causes death, as tragic as something that is so publicized that you're constantly reminded of it, that you as a mother, that you as a daughter, that you, you know, have a connection. You can relate so much, and you're so sad because of this tragedy. It's hard for us to figure out, how are we going to get through this storm? How are we going to help our loved ones through that storm? And the question does arise, what now, God? What do we do? Well, let me tell you what I saw. And this is just my personal opinion. I saw so many people praying, more people praying that I've ever seen before, online and social media, within my family, within my church family, people that I didn't even know, you know, that were Christian, that believed in God. They came out, they prayed, they, you know, sent out love, they made cards, they came out to the Staples Center, the celebrities, you know, everybody was just shocked and hurt and tears. So this tragedy caused so many other people to go to God, caused so many other people to send out prayers to the families, the survivors, that I know without a doubt that something good has to come out of it. As horrible and as sickening and as tragic as the loss of all nine of those lives were, those were people's dads and moms and sisters and brothers and, you know, uncles. It is tragic. But on the flip end, how many people sent their prayers to God? How many people actually went out of their way to be there for the families, to help them through their tragedies? How many people were, you know, when they found out that Kobe had just came from Mass, you know, he's Catholic, so the news, you know, posted that he had just came from prayer. How many people turned their lives over to God? How many people, instead of holding grudges with their family members, instead of, you know, just going about the day-to-day ins and outs. Instead, called those people, called those loved ones who they may not have spoken to in a long time and reconnected, okay? So throughout this tragedy, throughout this storm, throughout the pain, there was still a purpose that God has, and it's still being revealed to many of us. So we have to pay attention. So again, oftentimes we go through our storms in life, but we have to know that in that storm, God is with us. It will bring us closer to God. It will help us to trust Him more, call on Him more, okay? And no matter how bad it looks, things are going to be all right, okay? So that was the second thing. And last but not least, when you feel like your life is falling apart, it just may be God putting you back together. We're all guilty of holding on to some things that we should not, okay? And if you like me, I hold on for things a lot longer than I should. I am guilty of that. But we're all guilty of holding on to things a lot longer than we should. Things that God has told us to let go. Things that we know we should let go. But for whatever reason, we are still holding on. We have a grip on it and we won't let it go. Whether it's a thing, whether it's a person that you're holding on to, whether it's a place, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whether it's unforgiveness, or maybe it's anger that you're holding on to, whatever it is, we've gotten so used to holding on to it that it starts to become a part of us. We live it, we breathe it, we think it. And God sees it. He knows. He sees that sad condition that we are in. And the good thing is, He loves us too much to leave us in that same sad place. That sad place of hopelessness. That place of fear, of confusion, of hurt, of pain. So what does God do? I'll tell you what He does. God allows some things to happen. Some people to betray us. Some losses to occur. Some health issues to happen, even tragedies where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? Sometimes God will do a thing that'll make it to where you have nobody but Him. You have no choice but to call on Him, to get on your knees and cry out, God, help me, okay? Like I said, I have been there. I have felt like my life was falling apart, all right? I have been through, and I know, my listeners, you may be going through something right now. You may have be just getting over something, but we've all been there, okay? And so what happens is God allows these things to happen where we have no choice but to call on Him, okay? My God, thank you, God. And then at that moment when God finally gets our full attention, what does He do? He just begins to love on us. He begins to ease our pain, to take over that burden. God speaks to us. He lets us know, my child, I got you, okay? I got you. Somebody needs to hear that. My child, I got you, okay? And the part that I love the most is how He replaces that pain and all those bad feelings, all that negative energy that we were so tightly holding on to, like it was, you know, like our life depended on it. He replaces that with joy and the comforting assurance of the truth of His word. Okay. He tells us and He shows us, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Let me say that again. All things are working together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No weapon formed. Do you hear that? He reminds us to fear not, for I am with you. And my favorite, He lets us know, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. You see, He reassures us, He comforts us with the truth of His word. When we feel like our life is falling apart, He reminds us of all His wonderful promises. So to my listeners today who may be going through a personal storm, who may be surrounded by those who are going through storms, and maybe you're a friend or a family member and your loved one is going through some things. We just have to remember that when trouble comes your way, when tragedy hits, when it feels like your life is falling apart, just rest in knowing that God is with you through every storm. Your purpose is being birthed through that pain. And God is not, I repeat, God is not going to allow you to fall apart without His perfect plan to put you back together stronger, physically, mentally, spiritually. And yes, honey, when I say God is good, He will put you back together way better than before. I'm a living witness, okay? So in the midst of all those personal issues, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, in the midst of unspeakable tragedies, just do your best to stay focused on God and allow Him to help you find the way. Because even as He helps you find the way, He's also teaching you how to help somebody else find theirs, okay? So again, when your life is falling apart, just know that it really may be God putting you back together. And on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening to this week's segment of the What Now God Radio Show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. I'll see you every first and third Friday, 7:30 a.m. Pacific Time. That's 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Tune in and tell a friend. Listen to the What Now God Radio Show. I'll see you all next time. You have a blessed and happy Friday.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. Thank you.
Hey, my Made to Shine community. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the first show for 2021. So I'm going to start off saying Happy New Year to everyone, and I pray all is well. Just want to say that I am so excited to be here today with you all with a very special guest. As we come into 2021, we have some words that are just going to offer some encouragement to you, enlighten you, and just cause you to move forward with Christ. As a reminder of the show, we want you to know that we use the term made to shine. That is our motto, if you will, from Matthew 5:14-16, through 16, which tells us that you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as I continue with the movement of Made to Shine and how Made to Shine inspires, I'm continuing with shining the light on some women who are a part of my life or whose path I've crossed who are doing just that. They are shining the light on the things that God is blessing them with, giving us testimony, giving us words of encouragement. And this year is not going to be any different. Today, I have a very special guest with me, and her name is Kristen Washington.
Now, hello.
Kristen is not just any special guest. She's like my sister when my sister spoke on here last summer. This is family. So this hits a little differently when you have your family on here with you, supporting you and wanting to offer a word to those that are listening to you. But let me tell you a little bit about Kristen before she actually comes in and offers us some words to help push us into 2021 as we're starting this new year. Kristen is a chief home officer who has devoted her life to bringing up her children with sole intention and authenticity. She has 5 beautiful children, 4 bows, and I know they love their mama, and 1 princess. That's her baby. She is also a micro influencer who shares her real life experiences and faith with women and inspires them to live life with grace. As she is on her path of self-exploration, she works diligently on building her brand, Heavenly Involved. This encourages women, encourages moms that our loads may be heavy, but we are doing God's heavenly work. Kristen is a self-declared social introvert who loves to dance and bake. She is a worshiper of Jesus, loves all things blue, and she is your new mommy and your new sister friend. So again, everyone, welcome, 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 Miss Kristen Washington to our community. Go ahead, Kristen. How are you today,
hey,
lady?
Hey, girl. Hey, cousin. How are you doing? I kind of spoke too soon when you were reading
Girl, no problem. Just jump right on in. No problem. Gosh, where do we start, guys? It's just like, where do you start? You know, she's going to have something good for us today, y'all. I do believe that. Kristen, what do you want to share? Is there anything else that you would like to tell the audience about yourself? Or could you just elaborate a little bit more on what it means to be a micro influencer and mom blogger for you?
Okay, well, like you said, it's self-proclaimed title. I'm in the beginning stages of being an influencer. Mm-hmm. And I think we all are influencers in our lives. You know, we all have something to give. But mommying is my ministry. I look at it as a ministry. Like you said, I've dedicated my life to raising a family. And, it's a job in itself, just like any other job. And with that comes a lot of, you have to give yourself a little bit more grace, when you're rearing children. I mean, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. So, I speak about that, and I speak about, my faith journey, my faith walk with God. I like to have fun. Like you said, I love to dance. So if you see me, making a TikTok or a reel, you might see me, doing a little dance, but, I like to have fun. And that's just part of who I am. So it's basically just, you know, just sharing my life experiences, faith, family, how to balance all of that and still be your own, you know, still be your own self.
That is awesome. That is something awesome, because we as women, we do need to find that balance. So many of us struggle with that, even with myself, and I have teenagers. So you're still trying to find that balance of being mom and you know, allowing them to kind of grow and become into, you know, become in their own person.
Right.
And not feel like you're hovering over them, but still knowing that regardless of the stages that they're going through, you'll still be mom to them, and you're still needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, at least for me, you think when they become teenagers and their influence sometimes becomes more of those that are outside of the family home or the family dynamic. And I don't want that. You know, I still want to have that mom influence on them, that what I'm pouring into them is something that'll stand out more versus what they may be hearing from their peers or someone else. So yes, we all need that grace. And that's something I'm having to learn, to extend a little bit more grace to myself.
Right.
When things don't go as planned,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, knowing that you messed up, and, you know, you have those days when the days are a little bit more frustrating than others, and you tend to be a little snappy at people, and you try not to be, but you know, it comes off that way. So for me, you know, they remind me, what's wrong with you? You know, you're doing,
you know, those kids, they know when something's wrong with mama. Yeah. So they know how to pull back whatever it is that they're doing and try to be like, hey.
But I feel, you know, then I take it upon myself. I say, okay, let me go back and go to them and say, guys, I apologize. I didn't mean to snap. You know, it was just, you know, a rough day here, or this is what's going on. So please forgive me. So I'm working on that part of it, you know, letting them know that, yeah, you may mess up, but it's okay to come back and apologize for the mishaps.
Right.
And again, extend that grace to yourself, because not every day is going to be perfect.
Right.
So, and even with us in this community, Made to Shine, I try to have people on that will just encourage us through the walk.
Mm-hmm.
The walk is not easy a lot of times, because you are bombarded with life. You're bombarded with the things outside of your home, and not everybody is as forgiving, and there's expectations that sometimes you know you can't meet, but they still expect it.
Right.
And Made to Shine, you're having to look at yourself as the way God created you. Man didn't create us, God did. So I need to make sure that how I'm presenting myself and how I'm trying to grow is how he wants me to grow, and me not so much living up to what everybody else think I should be doing.
Right.
So that is where we are with this. And in 2021, I want to be a lot better in that area as well. But I am grateful that you are my first guest for the 2021 year. So I am very excited for the message that you have to share with us. So, you know, if you're ready, we're ready to listen.
Well, I'm glad that you spoke on some of those things about giving yourself grace. And I wanted to speak on believing in God. And who do you believe that you are in him? And a lot of times we define ourselves, we're defining ourselves every day. As part of, you know, it's the everyday thing. Everyday thing, we are constantly telling ourselves something about ourselves. A lot of times we go out and we look at things that are on around us. We have lots of things that are, you know, pulling us to think things about ourselves. You have the Enneagrams, you know, you have the personality test, and then you have like the social media. You know, we all are guilty of playing those name tests on social media, right? And you pop up and you see something good about yourself and you be like, yeah, that's me. That is me. And, you know, identifying as introvert or extrovert, you know, Some of us have dibbled and dabbled into, you know, those astrology, you know, birth signs, and this is who I am. And like I was saying, we all have done it, but it's not, and it's all, some of it is good and some of it can be not so good and damaging to our who we really are if we believe that. But we have to remember what the Bible says, and we have to remember that it is very clear that it says that our Heavenly Father says that we are his sons and his daughters, co-heirs with him, that we are created in his image. And believing who you are, I think that's one of the first pivotal steps, is believing who you are in Christ. Everybody is on a different path, as you know, and I may know you a little bit more personal on a personal level because of our lineage, but we both have different life experiences. And so where you might have issues with your identity, my identity is, you know, I might have issues with mine on a separate level. And if you, our identity really, when we think about it, who we really are is under attack.
Yes.
And a lot, and it comes from the time that you're born until the time that you are now, you know, figuring out who you are and who I am and who I'm supposed to be. But we have to be very careful of that. If we stop believing what God says about us, we'll start to believe the lies that the enemy have put in our head. And I think about the scripture in Matthew, when Jesus was even attacked by the enemy, you know, three times, you know, the enemy was telling him, you know who you say you, that ain't who you are. And Jesus was like, yes, I know who I am. I'm the Son of God. So if Jesus is being attacked identity wise, you better believe that you are going to be attacked and he is coming for you. And that's why I think it's so important that we ransack our Bibles and we dig into the scriptures to replace any of those lies with God's truth. I was thinking the other day that, you know, God is, he celebrates us. Mm-hmm. And because we're his creation, I mean, we're like the best thing that he ever created. So, I mean, why would he not, you know, want the best for us? He gave his son for us. He died. He sent his son to die for us. Jesus, I mean, God is our greatest affirmer. And because we're his greatest idea, I mean, above anything that he's ever created.
Kristen, and forgive me, audience, if you hear the echo, I'm moving around too much, I believe. But when you talk about that greatest affirmation, I think that's what a lot of us are looking for. We're looking for someone to affirm us. And that affirmation, unfortunately, is we're looking for it in the wrong places and from the wrong people. A lot of times from the wrong people. Now, I'm not saying that affirmations aren't needed, because I try to speak into my family a lot, you know, mm-hmm. with telling them things to build up their faith, to build up how they see themselves. But I try not to, you know, say it in a way to them as if I'm not your God, okay? I am, you all have been entrusted to me. It is my obligation to speak into you, to encourage you, to help you move forward with it. And a lot of times I think the things when we're looking for that affirmation, they may be wanting someone to affirm the negative or bad influences they may have around them. They want to keep that going. So they want somebody to say, yeah, what you're doing is okay. You know, you can keep it going. But inside, I think a lot of people, even from the youngest to the oldest, they're looking for that thing where someone can just say, hey, I'm proud of you, or hey, God loves you.
Right.
I think so many people in in our communities are missing that. I don't know. It's hard for me to count, to pinpoint and voice that. But when you spoke about affirmations, I've been real big on trying to keep that at the forefront of something in my life. And because I know I have days where, you know, like you say, those things that are off and we find ourselves saying the wrong thing.
Right.
And I have to pull it back and just, okay, let me reverse that. Let me not continue to speak the negativity. Let me find something positive to say about this. Because even the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So it's like, what are we saying to ourselves? You know, what are we saying to other people? You know, are we speaking death over them in a sense with the words that we say to them? Are we not encouraging them to the best of our ability with what we're given, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, yeah, just knowing that even in the midst of all of that, God is the one that affirms us. So that's what I was taking away from that, what you were just stating.
And I would just piggyback on that. You know, I've struggled with over the years with my self-image and how I want to be perceived and my self-worth. I haven't always spoken nicely about myself or to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And just starting from adolescence, you know, I always had skin problems growing up. And, you know, that was like, you know, it was part of, you know, progressing and becoming a woman. But, you know, mine was a little bit, you know, a little out of control, I felt. And I was just like, what is really going on? So that tarnished a little bit of my image about myself. And then, you know, you will never think this, but my nose, you know, Yes, you know, our nose is like, you know, the family trademark. It is. And, you know, and I would always try to, like, you know, back then, you know, contouring wasn't a thing. So you had to, you know, angle at the side and make your face look like this or have your nose look a certain way to, you know, try to not to, you know, not face on pictures, but, you know, try to angle it to where your nose, but I've embraced that about myself. And it took some time, but you know, it was just an awkward stage. But you know, it's just, we go through certain things that we look at ourselves, and then sometimes it's not always somebody else, it's yourself and how you perceive yourself. And then there are times where, you know, you doubt yourself because of what somebody else has said to you, or we just can't let those things, you know, take that for what it is and let the enemy use that, because he will always bring those things to your remembrance, you know, what that person said or how you felt about yourself. So the fight for your identity is a hard thing, but it's worth having. And you just have to believe that God can do that work in you and through you. And it's a part of, you know, once you believe who you are in God, you have a sense of belonging. And like mm-hmm. you said, you know, those affirmations, you want to hear the good things about yourself, because we want to belong. We want a sense of belonging, whether with our families or our communities, our church family. You don't want to feel isolated. And that's a work of the enemy too, isolation. And a lot of that is really going on right now with, you know, with this pandemic. It's just really, you know, hitting hard with some people. But we just have to come up with creative ways to stay connected. Just like a Zoom call or a small group or getting together with your family, you know, the safe way. But you know, God is a relational God. He created relationships, you know. Yeah, so
that's kind of hard right now. And I think about us, you know, just overall, just family overall, you know, we're people who like to get together, and
right.
That's been kind of hard, you know.
Yes.
Being able to see your family like you're so accustomed to seeing them, and you're trying to find those different ways to see everybody, you know, it's not the same, but you're trying to adapt and adjust accordingly. like you said, while keeping everyone safe and you trying to stay safe, but there's still that yearning, that sense of belonging. And I can only, speaking from our sense of belonging, family is what we knew. Family is what we know. So it's right. Like our belonging and sense of belonging and being together, that is something that kept and keeps us together. To do that during this time and, still trusting God in the process that, it won't always be like this.
It won't always
be like this.
Yes.
But, it does get difficult, and you do try not to, while we're in the midst of things going on, like you said, that isolation is what's keeping a lot of us in depression or oppression,
Right.
because you feel alone, but you're really not. There are ways that we can maneuver and still have that relation with people. It's a little more difficult now than it had been. So we're just having to readjust and allow God to still come in and not take for granted the way that we're having to see each other right now, or the way we're having to talk to one another right now. Because right now it's not so much about the quantity or the amount of times we get to see each other. It's the quality.
Absolutely.
When we see one another, that we can, still, in essence, we may not be able to hug and all this, we hug people. It's that touch thing for us.
The things that we took for granted, we are really grateful for them now. Yeah. Really grateful for them. We are supposed to be in connection with each other. And, yeah. And when we don't have that connection with our family and friends, we can turn to him for that connection, and he can, ease all of those frustrations and anxieties that we're having, especially with this pandemic and not being able to be connected with people. He's just like a blanket, he covers us and, takes care of us real good, especially in those moments. After you're believing and trusting and knowing who you are, you have that sense of belonging with God. You know that he's got you. He's not going to let you fall. He's going to protect you. He's going to cover you. And he's going to bring the right people in your path, the people that you need to be around. He's going to bring those people into your existence. He's just all knowing, all loving, just good like that. So there was a scripture that had came to my mind, and it's been one of my go-to scriptures, especially for this season in my life. Jeremiah 29:11, and he just speaks about, I know the plans that I have for you. It's more comforting and knowing that, the plans that I have for you are going to be good plans. They're not going to be to harm you. And that gives me a sense of belonging, not rely on that, knowing that, hey, I'm here. It might not be the way that you want it to be, but you know that God is there with you and you belong to him. So he's already taking care of everything for you, and he's going to be there for you. And it hasn't always been easy, girl. You would think, coming up in my background, a little bit about my background. My past, my dad is a pastor, my mom's a minister, growing up in the church, faithfully going to the church, it would come easily, like believing and trusting in God. But really, I appreciate everything that they instilled in me as a child, because as I got older and I began to form my own relationship with God, those things that I was taught, back when I was younger, those things come back to my remembrance. And I'm just like, oh yeah, I remember when my mama said that, or I remember when my daddy preached about that and he shared that word with me. And it just makes you it gives you that comfort and that sense of belonging when you can rely on things that happened in your past, and then you bring it back forth. And, you know, I try to, you know, I am instilling that in my kids, you know, but, you know, it's a little different, you know, but the word of God is still the same, you know, the way it is given to you is completely different. What the way you give it's presented to somebody else is different, but the word of God, it stays true and it will never go void. And I was, to continue on in that becoming stage, becoming who God wants you to be is a progression, and you just can't, you know, say that, I've met my mark. I've met my mark with God. You don't ever meet your mark with God. You don't ever meet your mark with God. It's a life journey. You don't ever reach a pinnacle and stop there. It's God is becoming who God wants you to be is a lifetime journey, and growing in the confidence and the wisdom of who he says that we are. Once you ask God to enter your heart and you raise your hand and you accept him, that's when the transformation starts, you know? And it takes time, and it takes humbling yourself, because that's really one of the hardest things to do. One of the hardest things to do is to humble yourself. But then when you start to humble yourself and you see God for who he really is and who he's really trying to, what he's trying to do in your life, you know, those fruits that you start bearing, those fruits, and you become more patient. And like you were saying, like the patience with your kids and having that patience, we all experience as moms, like, you know, losing it a little bit and then having to come back and be like, okay, y'all, mommy had a moment. I'm gonna need you to forgive me. You start bearing those fruits and you start recognizing where you're lacking and where you need to grow. Becoming requires some change. It requires change, and it requires you to stay pliable. You know, you gotta stay pliable when you become who God wants you to be.
That's the truth. That is the truth. Guys, Kristen, I thank you for pouring out your heart to us. I do appreciate your words to us. And again, I try to take notes. I try to just hone in on some of those things that when I do have guests on that say things that kind of resonate with maybe the walk I'm in you know, at the moment. And there's always something that we can take away from it. So I do truly thank you so much for coming on and just sharing a piece of yourself and a piece of your heart as it relates to believing and becoming what God has for you. I do thank you for sharing those words. Audience, I pray that you have taken away something from us during this segment today. And again, that you would continue to push forward and continue to join me on this journey of being made to shine on this network. Kristen, again, thank you so much, dear. Thank you so much for being my special guest today. And audience, until next time, tune in. This episode, I will be sure to let you know when it will air. And just thank you. I'm excited.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a very humbling experience because, you know, we had that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I talk, you know, how I sound in front of an audience. You know, I'm more comfortable, you know, writing it down and making a little post, but having that, you know, conversation and talking about it. And I had a little bit more to add, you know, I was just getting started. I was just getting more comfortable, you know, with this, you know, setup.
Well, you hear that, audience. I'm going to have her on the air say she'll be back for part two. So I look forward to that. I do look forward to scheduling a part two with you. Again, guys, may 2021 just be a year of extraordinary blessings for each and every one of my listeners.
It will be.
Despite what you see, what is going on, take heart that God is still with us. And if we put our trust in him, it's going to work out in our favor. It's already worked out in our favor. We just continue to hold on and to remember, love, you keep shining. Keep shining.
Amen.
And until next time, guys, this is your host, Sonya Nelson, signing out. God bless.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.